Lee, this is nuts. This is from a Birthright Citizenship website.
Okay.
Advertising how you can come to the United States of America and give birth. It's called Doctoris Parati. It's a Q&A section. Can I lose my visa if I have my baby in the United States of America? And what they're advertising is for about $4,000, you can come to America, give birth. If you want a C-section, that's an extra $1,000. And then, go ahead and leave afterward. Can I lose my visa if I have my baby in the United States? Having a baby in the United States does not result in immigration consequences. This is crazy. Does not result in immigration consequences, providing that the law is followed and the corresponding medical expenses are fully covered. The improper use of public assistance or failure to pay for services may be considered by immigration authorities in future evaluations. Is it legal to give birth in the United States of America? It's the next question. Yes, giving birth in the United States of America is lawful. And they reference the recent Supreme Court decision. So, yeah, you can just totally come here and have your baby and, be on your way. Next question, can I still give birth in the United States after the new regulations and executive order on birthright citizenship signed by President Trump? Yes, they say under current law, children born on U.S. soil continue to receive U.S. citizenship at birth. And they say that, they talk about the Supreme Court ruling. Okay. Then after that, they go into this. My baby bump is showing. Can I be denied entry to United States of America because of my pregnancy? Yes. And it says, and then they answer that question. Okay. Forgive me. I'm looking at the next one. They say, no, your baby bump showing. So you can full on baby bump your way through the airport. No problem. Do you provide any document that confirms or supports my appointment and may be used when entering the United States? This is to the, birth citizenship factory. Yes. Once the enrollment process is completed and your medical appointment is confirmed, you will receive a confirmation letter that documents your registration and scheduled medical care. So think about that. You're using your birthright citizenship baby birth appointment documentation as documentation you're going to receive medical care so you can get into the country. In other words, to help you enter the United States. Mm-hmm. This is the next question. Do you provide any guidance on what to say to immigration officers when entering the United States to steal citizenship? No, we do not provide immigration advice or instructions on what to say to immigration officers. All individuals entering the United States must be truthful and comply with applicable immigration laws and entry requirements. Each visitor is responsible for having appropriate documentation and sufficient financial resources to cover their medical and personal expenses. Wow. Just wow. This next question. I do not have a visa. Can you help with the application process? And they say, we provide a medical service. We do not provide immigration counseling. And we will not contact the U.S. Embassy on your behalf. And they say, do not enter illegally to schedule your appointment. And then they refer you to where you can go if you want more information on how to get your visa. But my personal favorite is, if my baby bump is showing, will that be a problem? And here's the problem, Lee. When you're talking about amounts of $4,000 to $5,000, you can put that on a standard credit card. In other words, you don't have to be wealthy to do this. You just come on in, have the baby, and take off.
Well, I mean, that's if you go to them for the service, because quite honestly, if you're in the country and you get taken to an emergency room, if you're not here legally, it doesn't matter anyway. They're going to provide, birthing services, period. I mean, they have to.
Yeah, it's a good point. So, Lee, Trump has now requested, and it's very rare for this to happen, has now requested an emergency hearing. One of the reasons behind this is that this whole information, birthright citizenship, like just the sheer staggering numbers, over a million Chinese alone, was not even considered, in the original SCOTUS like information that they were looking at when they were making the judgment. And now News Nation is reporting there's a chance at this. It's not a big one.
Yeah.
President Trump just posting on Truth Social.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that my understanding of this is that in order for this to happen, that the dissenting justice, which would be one of them would be Brett Kavanaugh, would have to approve or ask for the rehearing in order for this to take place. And it, as you said, this is very, very rare. You know, this is a low probability situation, but at least he's making an effort.
Yeah. And he called the decision insane, which
and
it is.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. And I've explained several times on the show using the Wall Street Journal why Robert's logic is faulty and wrong and why he knows that, well, why he knows he's not legally correct.
If this were something that Republicans liked or Trump wanted, they would call it a loophole.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, what Roberts could not address the second part again, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, the part where it says you cannot have allegiance to a non-U.S. government power. You can't have a foreign allegiance or you don't qualify. Again, that's why the Indians who were here before we were didn't qualify until the 1900s for citizenship. And it took a legal change for that to happen. So and Roberts didn't even address that in his ruling. And that's why I've been saying he knows he's full of it. He knows he is. He can't even make a legal argument and he's the Chief Justice, you know, in his opinion. And he left it unaddressed completely. The good news about that is it at least leaves us a path, at least sometime in the future, to argue, hey, listen, you know, he made this thing up about, hey, the set of law, you can't challenge it, you know, Congress can't pass a law or anything. But he didn't address half the basis in the 14th Amendment for it because he can't. He can't do it. And when you have Kavanaugh saying, yeah, Congress absolutely could pass a law here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's who they need. So I wonder if Trump had some, I don't know, back channel information that Kavanaugh might be willing to bring this back up. I don't know.
I think there's a better chance of the Supreme Court rehearing it than it ever getting through Congress.
Yes, absolutely. And that's because John Thune, as we're finding out in the last two years, has taken, and this makes it all make sense, $1.5 million from the open borders lobbies and the H-1B visa lobbies. And this is why he's killing the SAVE Act, because he knows, the, you know, they know if Republicans get elected these days, odds are they're going to be against open borders. They'd rather have Democrats. And that's why you see Thune standing up for Democrats and things that help them get elected, like fraud.
And then he will turn around and blame Democrats for it. But if they would drop the filibuster or at least require the real filibuster, then they could get this passed through the Senate with the amount of votes they have right now, if every Republican went along.
And we know that for a fact, because they got 50 votes for this. Mm-hmm. This was a version of it. It was to attach it to something else. Well, you got 50 votes. That's all you need, because J.D. Vance is the tiebreaker.
Right.
We have the vote.
Yes.
And Thune keeps lying about that. Now, we don't have the votes for the Lindsey Graham version of it, because it attaches a bunch of girls' sports things to it, which, by the way, he did at Trump's request. I don't know why Trump requested that, but he did it. That does not have the votes. But just a pure up or down SAVE Act has the votes. We know that. And Thune's been lying about that. So, but we could do it. And again, all we need, we don't even need to get rid of the filibuster. We just need a good old fashioned filibuster like the kind we've had since the founding. He just needs to allow it. And every time it heats up, he goes on vacation. So, but Alito was saying, look, this would be the end of the country. And it, you know, I mean, this is a mess. I was just looking at this on, just for instance, I was just looking on this at this on Fox News. They were showing the pictures of the, get this, 36 Democrat Socialists of America candidates who are running for or who have won right now. They are going to more than likely take office. They've won their primaries. And if you go look at them and you go down the list as I've been doing, more than half are foreign born, just like Zohran Mamdani.
Mm-hmm.
They're foreign born. So when you're looking at that, you're looking at who's recruiting them, okay? Like, where are these people suddenly coming from? How are they, you know, with little or no money, you know, suddenly beating Democrat candidates who are established? And there's one word that explains it all, and it's Hassan Piker, who is recruiting them. He's very popular on his Twitch account. Bad, bad dude. Calls for Trump to be killed about once a month. Okay, well, who is Hassan Piker exactly? He is a poster child for this. He's one of these babies.
This is what I always found funny, is that you were born in New Jersey, but then they shipped you right to Turkey.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want you to get an American upbringing.
Well, the thing is, like, it was the other way around. My parents were very sneaky with it. They were like, if we... If we give birth to him, you know the immigrant mentality. If you give birth to him here,
of course,
then he will be American.
Then
which, you know, sucks to suck. Racist, like, that's just how it works still.
It's a loophole.
Yeah. It's a great loophole. So then, but then they were like, but we don't want him to be too American.
So I grew up
in Turkey for 18 years.
You know, back in the 80s and 90s, talk like that would be considered subversive.
I think you'd be investigated.
Yes.
Now it's standard, but you can
now you're
see-
qualified to be a candidate in the Democrat Socialist Party.
Yeah, no, I mean, again,
and occupy the halls of Congress.
If you look at the Democrat Socialists right now leading in the polls, to be Wisconsin governor in the primary, who is she? Her parents did the same thing. She's Chinese. She's Korean. Her parents did the same thing. They came here, had her, and took off. Now she's here to tell us all how to live. But she wasn't raised here. But she's an American. So you're really seeing just the devastation of this. What started as a crazy experiment in New York is spreading. 36 Democrat Socialist America candidates have now won their primaries at the state legislature level or higher, including more than a dozen in congressional primaries. It's spreading, folks, and it's not slowing down. So Trump had a warning about this.
Communism's easy to sell. I would be the greatest communist in history. I'd be right up there with Lenin. I'd be as good as anybody. You've got free rent for the rest of your life. What they don't say is that you'll be living in squalor in 12 months. You've got a free house. Would anybody like to have a free house? We'll take it away from somebody. We'll give it to you. You'll have murders all over the place. Communism's a disaster. It's been proven to be.
Meanwhile, Democrat Socialist America won around, assuring everybody that, you know, it's not a big deal. It's you'll barely even notice socialism. It's great.
When I talk to voters about what we're doing and why I'm a Democratic Socialist, I remind them that we have socialism already, right? It's in the roads that we drive on. It's in the schools we send our kids to. It's in the fire stations we call upon. I'm just asking that we extend that security to our healthcare, to our housing, to our nutritional food, to our higher education, so that we're actually meeting the basic needs of everyday working families in this country.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, what she doesn't mention, two things. The reason that the roads and the schools work is because capitalism undergirds them. You can't have socialism without capitalism. Socialism is a parasite on the back of capitalism. That's why it works. And it also works because these are things we come together as a society to vote on and care about in our communities. It also works. There's no other way it's going to be roads. I mean, everybody can't have their own private road. It's just not enough room and there's not enough money. So it works. What she's talking about, she's not going to tell you this, is complete ownership of all property by a central party. There's no voting after that. None that matters. Anyway. So folks, they're running around and they're saying it's not a big deal. You'll hardly notice anything's even going on. And you even had CNN saying, look, that this doesn't make any sense. Why are Republicans equating socialism, which Democrats like, with communism? I mean, it's not even going to, it's not even going to be noticeable. This is not a big deal. This is not going to be a big thing. And why are Republicans doing this?
And I just wonder why you can't just critique socialism as is and you have to go straight to communism.
Communism's much more, if you're just branding, and you know this as a communicator for campaigns, it's much easier
sounds
to understand.
Sounds scary to go straight back to the 50s. Yeah. Love it. Okay. Yeah.
Talking about this, talking about the threat of communism, explaining about how Democrats are going to try and offer you free stuff, and that might sound good for a couple years.
Do you think it's weird they're skipping straight to communism?
These GOP folks, they're just exaggerating. that we're not going to communism. I'm not going to overthrow the government. Or are they? Folks, this was a Zoom meeting of Democrat Socialist of America leaders on the West Coast. You tell me.
And, you know, we have a unique responsibility to act from the heart of empire, the belly of the beast. The most important thing that we can do is take that empire down from within.
Our role ultimately is to facilitate our own empire's failure in ways that we can, ultimately to overthrow our own empire.
Imperialism is, U.S. imperialism is not a thing that can be reformed away. It has to be overthrown through revolutionary struggle.
And to build a mass movement that can use the leverage of workers to hit the kill switch on American imperialism here within the American empire.
Okay, cool. So once they do that and bring it down, Democrat Socialist of America leader David Jenkins, what are you going to do then? Again, what was the, tell me the plan.
I mean, our goal is liberation. Our goal is communism.
Huh. So, you know, CNN accusing Republicans of jumping the gun, but it doesn't sound like they're jumping the gun.
And I just wonder why you can't just critique socialism as is and you have to go straight to communism.
Communism's much more, if you're just branding them, you know this as a communicator for campaigns, it's much easier
sounds
to understand.
To go straight back to the 50s. Yeah. Love it. Okay.
So just lie. Here's the scary part, though. CNN poll, and hold on a sec, Tim. CNN pollster Harry Enten yesterday had this. During the Tea Party Revolution, which is really when our party started waking up and realizing, wow, these people leading us, are they seemed like Republicans, but they're really globalists, open borders globalists. We want to overthrow them. We don't like the things that they're doing. There's kind of a revolution in the Republican Party. At that time, among Republicans, Republican Party hit an all-time polling low of 52% approval. Do you know what it is right now among the Democrats for the Democrat Party? 47. Lower than during the Tea Party Revolution. So just 47% of Democrats say they approve of the Democrat Party. Even more frightening than that, Democrat leadership gets a plus four from them. They're popular at a plus four rate. Democrat socialists get a plus 17, according to CNN's polling. Plus 17. So Democrat socialists, more popular in the Democrat Party right now than Democrats are. Yeah, that's kind of terrifying. And Joe Concha has nailed this on Fox News. What we're looking at here.
So we've all seen The Dark Knight, right? And the one great scene of Michael Caine talking to Christian Bale saying that some people just want to watch the world burn. And that's what exactly the DSA wants to do here with the United States of America. They want to tear the whole thing down. This is what radicalism is. This is the goal from the inside, by the way. Get elected to places like mayor of New York or in Congress in New York or mayor of Seattle, mayor of Washington, D.C., and then slowly expand until you could watch the whole thing burn. That's exactly what the DSA wants to do in their own words. Not yeah. my opinion, Todd, not your opinion, or we're talking about in the five and it's opinions. No, no. This is fact. This is the goal. And this is something that Democrats need to be concerned about, because if they think they could get along to get along, in other words, if they think that as an establishment Democrat, that these people coming in to the Democratic Party are going to work with Democrats, they will work to take them out first, then eventually the Republicans, then eventually the U.S. government. This is not hyperbole. Their words right there, Todd.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Texter writes, Tara, in the 60s, when I was in school, I was taught that America could be taken over from within by the communists. And their time could take unlimited time to do it. Another text writes, hey, Tara, I'm 56 years old. Never thought I'd say this, but there's a civil war coming to this country. Folks, that is why I refer to places like New York City as post-American territories, geographically American, but otherwise unrecognizable and drifting further and further away every day. And finally, Texter writes, communism gets you oligarchy. Socialism gets you tyranny. Capitalism gets you prosperity. Okay, folks. Representative Pramila Jayapal, who flew to Cuba to help the communist regime there. She is a communist herself, member of the squad, endorsed by Democrat Socialists of America, not born here. Unfortunately, she's a Congress member. This is why we desperately need, as Nancy Mace has proposed, a law blocking people who are not American by birth from becoming members of Congress. We've got to. It's just getting out of control. So Trump has basically blockaded Cuba by cutting off their sources of oil. If you know anything about Cuba, they don't really have capitalism there, so they don't have any money. And what keeps them alive is an infusion of oil that was coming in mainly from Venezuela. They were just giving it to them, and then in return, the Cuban intelligence, which they're quite talented, was protecting Maduro. And that little bit of oil they'd send every month was keeping Cuba afloat. But in particular, was keeping the communist regime there afloat and keeping their thumb on the people. A great example of this, they were talking about their police not being able to crack down on protests there in recent months because they have nothing to put in the cars to make them roll. So that's part of Trump's strategy. He's also pressured other Central and South American countries to stop, including Mexico, stop sending them fuel, stop sending them oil. And so he's trying to choke out the Communist Party. Well, Pramila Jayapal, again, not born in America, but unfortunately American Congress members, not hiding it. She went over there. She's been advocating for the Cuban Communist Party. And she's also been talking, she says, to, basically foreign ministers of different countries trying to get them to send fuel. In other words, she's violating the law. She's conducting her own foreign policy and trying to keep the communists in place. And we've been talking about this for a while. And she's, just trying to save the Cuban dictatorship like a good communist. Well, now members of Congress are beginning to weigh options. She's headed for being under investigation. I guess she doesn't care. And they're talking about expelling her for being a foreign agent. We have got to start doing this stuff. Here's kind of what's going on. This just broke yesterday.
Washington Democrat Jayapal says she's actively working with foreign nations to circumvent American sanctions and supply oil to the Castro regime. She calls it compassion. We call it siding with a hostile nation against America.
Since January, only one Russian tanker of oil has made it to Cuba. Russia has said they're going to send another tanker. I was in conversations with the ambassadors from Mexico and some other places, and I know other countries in Latin America are trying to figure out how to get oil there. But it is a crisis beyond imagination. I have called these sanctions an economic bombing of the infrastructure of Cuba. It is illegal.
Yeah, she says it's an economic bombing. So the problem is she's not the president. And so she doesn't get to do this. So Representative Brandon Gill talking about Jayapal and what they're doing with her.
Congressman Gill, she's working to get oil to Cuba. I mean, I think that could run afoul of the Logan Act.
It sure seems like, and it's really astounding. And I think it raises basic questions for members of Congress, which is, who do we represent? Do we represent the interests of the American people, or do we represent the interests of hostile foreign regimes like Cuba? And she seems to believe the latter. I mean, the reality is that this is an evil communist regime that tortures its own people, that operates as a hub for some of our biggest geopolitical adversaries, including Russia, whom she also believes that she ought to be helping aid the importation of oil into Cuba for. So this is astounding on so many levels. But I think that it's something that the American people recognize, is that we've got a Democrat Party who is operating in the interests of our geopolitical foes. And that's a big problem.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see more of it. Unfortunately, meanwhile, still trying to round up those illegal immigrant CDL holding truck drivers who get their licenses in blue post-American territories and then drive all over the country, including here. Federal immigration officers have been dispatched by the Trump administration to truck way stations nationwide. Select locations, they're not at all of them, but select locations as part of the Trump administration's effort to find, arrest, and deport illegal immigrants who were given commercial driver's licenses. Because remember, those licenses are listed, are given at the local level, even though they're federal licenses. And the Democrats, once again, won't turn over any of the documentation so we can see, hey, this guy's an illegal immigrant. He's not legally here. All we have is the license. So to catch them, because Democrats are hiding them, White House Border Czar Tom Homan said federal law enforcement is now on site. They're going to go full time at these sites to identify and intercept the, listen to this, nearly 200,000 non-U.S. citizens who receive commercial driver's licenses from states despite their having illegally entered the United States. Okay, folks, again, more lawlessness from the Democrats. You cannot have a CDL under federal law if you are an illegal immigrant. You can't. You can't do it. There's a couple of categories. If you're legally here, you can do it. Like, you know, you've come in on a visa, but it's not legal for you to be driving as an illegal immigrant. 200,000 of these given out in Democrat states. Quote, we've got a lot of people looking for, actually, some states were actually working way stations with the troopers trying to get these people as they're coming through, Homan told Fox News co-host Dana Perino. So it's a work in progress. President Trump is serious about this. And he wouldn't say, and he shouldn't say, what stations that they're at, but they're going to be stationed there full time doing nothing but looking for these drivers, pulling them, you know, and picking them up. These are ICE people. Folks, it is amazing the chaos the Democrat Party was able to cause in 4 years. Just the absolute unmitigated destruction of the border voter drive and just cleaning it up in so many ways. All these Americans who've died are just the absolute carnage. It's unbelievable. Listener writes, Tara, I've been a CDL, commercial driver's license holder, since they came out in the 80s. For me to have an old hazardous materials endorsement, I had to go and get fingerprints done. I've had to jump through hoops. Yeah, they want to make sure I'm not some kind of terrorist or some kind of criminal here. And for me to get a real ID, they want me to have all of this other stuff to do also. And there are states out there that are just handing it to people that shouldn't even be in this country. And he says he's got a CDL license with hazardous materials endorsement and real ID on them. And he says these people shouldn't even be here. Yeah, and then again, federal law, you have to be able to pass the test. You've got to be fluent to do it. You've got to read road signs. We don't even know how they're getting around the test. But you know what this is? This is Democrats just wanting to find a way to give away jobs to these people so they'll stay in America. That's it. They don't care who they kill. Texter writes, no, we don't need I-85 from exit 19 to the state line fixed. We've been begging for years. Crickets. Texter writes, and it is an astonishing number, isn't it? 200,000 illegal immigrant truck drivers. Again, it is not legal under federal law for them to have a commercial driver's license. 200,000 illegal immigrant truck drivers is 200,000 jobs stolen from American workers. Folks, this is just criminality. And the scale of it. It's just astonishing. Folks, I can't wait to see what comes of this. By the way, new Trump executive order, he's ordering Besant to our Treasury Secretary, who has considerable banking regulation power, to cut off millions of illegal immigrant bank accounts. He said, I signed a powerful new executive order, which will be led by the Treasury Department to stop banks, credit cards, financial institutions from being used to facilitate human smuggling, drug trafficking, illegal immigration, and the criminal cartels who orchestrate these activities. Access to our nation's financial systems must be limited to those who have a legal right to be here. He says bank accounts being used to enable illegal immigration or to store the welfare illegally received by illegal aliens will be shut down and funds will ultimately face impoundment and seizure. Okay, what is going on here? Now, this is absolutely what we need to do. Remember, he's still in that lawsuit with the Democrat states who are refusing to turn over their welfare rolls. It's federal money. It's your federal tax dollars, but you sign up for it at the local level. So they've got all the information. When it gets to the federal government, all they have is a name and who they're sending the money to, right? So that's why Trump's suing Democrat states. Democrat states won't turn them over because it's just nothing but, you know, fraud. Fraudulently given to illegals. So what this is Trump taking a different route and going, okay, I'll take the bank accounts. And again, remember he made that save database to run people's names through. Folks, if he can get their accounts shut down, if he can debank them, they'll go home. We won't have to lay hands on him. Can you imagine having to live here with no ability to digitally bank to move money? You can't even get your welfare check, folks. Not enough jobs for it. They'd have to go home. And that's exactly what he's thinking.